In our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we are discussing with you that very thrilling miracle that is commonly referred to as Peter walking on the water. We have said to you that this miracle illustrates the power of faith. We've been discussing with you the atmosphere in which the miracle was performed. It was one of friendlessness. It was one of fear. It was one of fighting opposing forces. Men who are in situations where they feel they are alone, where they feel that there are forces pushing them to the wall, where they feel that they are no match for the uncertainty which lies ahead, and their hearts are filled with fear, need a faith that will sustain them. And this brings us to the second lesson we want to learn in connection with this miracle, the faith that sustains. What kind of faith will carry you? What kind of faith will sustain you in the hours, the atmosphere that I have been suggesting to you? Well, let us look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 40. The Lord Jesus, you will remember, had come walking to the disciples who were in the midst of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. He came in the darkest hour of the night, and their hearts were filled with fear. But in that darkest hour of the night, his sweet voice came to them, "Be of good cheer, it's I. Don't be afraid." We reminded you he's always there in the darkness, and those words of cheer are always there to be heard if we will tune our ear to them. Peter tuned his ear. He seemed to know more than the others, or to sense more than the others, and he said, "Lord, if it be thou..." Now that "if" there could better be translated, since it's you. He had no trouble believing it was. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, I've used one word to describe these verses. It's the word focus. What kind of faith is it that has the power to sustain in the midst of circumstances like this? Listen closely. I believe it is a faith that remains in focus. Let me say that to you again. I believe that it's a faith that remains in focus. A faith that does not remain in focus will not sustain you in the hour of trial. Believe me, the devil will do all that he can, always, to get your faith out of focus. You know, if you're using glasses, wearing glasses, if you don't adjust your glasses properly, things are not in focus. This is particularly true if you're using field glasses or a telescope. You have to focus. You don't see things right unless you do. Well, I'm here to say to you today that that's exactly the way it is with faith. I believe that your faith must be in focus. Now, how am I applying this to the story here? Well, let me say, I love this story about Peter. I never have the opportunity of meditating upon it or teaching it that my own heart is not thrilled. Peter was the impetuous one. He was really the only one that was listening, as I said a moment ago, when the Lord said, "It is I, be not afraid." The Lord appeared to Peter when he heard those words. The Lord appeared to Peter, in his own mind at least, as a miraculous working Christ. And he said, "Lord, if it be thou, let me come to you on the water." Just like you are walking on the water. Now, let me emphasize. He wanted to come where Jesus was. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ in his sights once again. He'd been looking too long at the wind. He'd been looking too long at the waves that had tossed the boat. He wanted something more, and he said, "Lord, if it is you, since it is you, let's be done with the waves and the wind. Bid me to come to thee on the water. Did you notice there was no rebuke from Christ when Peter made that request? And yet it was rather fanatical. I'm quite sure that those disciples on the boat would have said, "Peter, are you crazy? No one can walk on the water. Don't be so silly." I'm sure that they would have done all that they could to have watered down the faith of this daring soul. But the Lord Jesus didn't. You'll notice what he said, "Come on, come, Peter." It was no halfway invitation. There was no rebuke. There was no thought in Peter's mind as to whether he could or he could not. I love the description the Spirit of God was pleased to put here in the Word. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Over the side of the ship he came, onto the water, and he walked right toward Jesus. Dear friend, his faith was in focus. He had his eyes on the right person, and he walked on the water. Now, the hecklers in the boat couldn't dissuade him from walking on the water, so they did what hecklers do today. And hear me, the devil will have his hecklers all about you. They said, Peter, look out. There's a wave there. It's gonna overwhelm you. Peter, look out for that wave. And Peter, humanly acting in response to their cries, turned and looked at the wave. His faith was out of focus once again. He had his eyes on the waves instead of on Christ. I'm not giving you dull platitudes, friend. I'm giving you something you need. Let's be honest. Why is it that things are not going as you know they ought to go for you? Oh, they were going so well, but something's happened. You started out well. You even say, "I know God led me into this. I know it." Peter knew it too. He heard Jesus say, "Come." No one could deny that. But now he was beginning to sink. He wasn't walking on the water anymore. He didn't have any artificial paraphernalia when he started out of that boat. Nothing had changed except his faith was out of focus. Sometimes, you know, we look at situations and we say, "Well, things are just not the same. There was a time I could have done that, but things are just not the same." That's not the problem. The problem is your faith may be out of focus. The faith that sustains, the faith that keeps you up on top of the water, must be a faith that is in focus. But it must not only be a faith that is in focus, it must be kept in focus. And the only way that we can keep our faith in focus is to be humble enough to confess failure. There are many individuals who have begun walking on the water, figuratively speaking, and they have sunk in the midst of the sea because they have refused to confess their failure. Thank God for Peter. He was not afraid to recognize his failure as sin. And you'll notice what he said in verse 30, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Oh, I love that. There was no formality about it. He didn't even wait until he got home to kneel down beside his bed at night and confess his failure. That's what a lot of us do, you know. We let our sins pile up until the night or Sunday or some other time, and then there's some kind of confession, and we think everything's all right. Let me tell you today, the kind of confession that pleases the heart of God is immediate confession. I don't believe Peter got down to his knees in that water. I doubt if he got halfway up to his ankles before he said, "Lord, now save me." You know, the thing that I'm grateful for is that you don't need a special tongue to talk to God. You don't need a special language. You don't need a lot of formality and a lot of dressing up. All you need to do is cry out to God, and he'll hear you. Did you notice the response of the Savior? Oh, I can't pass over that without a remark. I love it too. Immediately, that's what the scripture says, immediately Christ stretched forth his hand. And I'm so glad that the Christ I love doesn't keep me waiting. I'm glad he doesn't keep me dangling on the end of the hook. Some of us would have felt like Peter needed to be taught a lesson, and we might have said, it won't hurt him to get down to his nose before I save him. That'll teach him. But immediately, Christ met his need. Sometimes, you know, your theology gets mixed up, and you get the idea that if you ask God to do something, he'll keep you guessing just to see if you really mean business. I've never found that in the Scripture. But I have found every time anybody says, save me, immediately the answer comes. I like what the psalmist said. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. No talk about how he got into the trouble, just that he cried and God heard him. Well, one added thought before we leave you today. The Lord Jesus Christ reached forth his hand, and immediately Peter was walking on the water again. And the beautiful thought is that they walked back to the ship together, hand in hand, and when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. And then everybody bowed their knee in worship to God. That suggests to me that not only must our faith be kept in focus, but there must be continued fellowship. When we walk arm in arm with our Lord, we are in fellowship with him. And did you notice when it was the winds ceased? Did you notice when it was the waves lay down? It was when Peter and the others were in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever situation you are in today, regardless of how high the waves, regardless of how strong the wind, your faith will sustain you if you learn to walk arm in arm with Christ.